You are Locked On Raiders, your daily Oakland Raiders podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Just win.
The autumn wind is a pirate, blustering in from sea. With a rollicking song, he sweeps along, swaggering boisterously. His face is weather-beaten. He wears a hooded sash, with a silver hat about his head, and a bristling black mustache. He growls as he storms the country, a villain big and bold. And the trees all shake and quiver and quake as he robs them of their gold. The autumn wind is a raider, pillaging just for fun. He'll knock you round and upside down and laugh when he's conquered and won.
What's up, Raider Nation? Welcome into another episode of the Locked On Raiders podcast. I'm your boy Q. Welcome to Monday. Hopefully you had a good weekend. Hopefully you enjoyed Friday's episode with John Ledyard from NFL Draft Network. Has a little bit of tidbits, a little bit of conversation about the upcoming NFL draft and what it could mean for the Raiders and different directions that the Raiders can go. Again, it was a really good conversation. I felt it was a good conversation. So Raider Nation, I definitely want to hear from you. What were your thoughts on that interview? 707-654-4693. Coming up on today's episode for Monday, February 11th, 2019, today, what we're going to have in segment number one, going to have a little bit of conversation about some news and notes that came out about the Raiders between Friday and between today, and I'm going to share my thoughts on it. And, you know, a lot of stuff that came out about the Raiders and a lot of stuff that's actually very, very important. So we'll talk about that in segment number one. And then in segment number two and also in segment number three, I got about eight calls that I want to get to straight off that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line. Again, the number is 707-654-4693. Lots of good feedback on different conversations that we've had over the past few weeks, and I definitely want to hit that up. So I definitely appreciate you, Raider Nation. Anytime you chime in, anytime you give your thoughts on the podcast voicemail line at 707-654-4693 or on my Twitter account at yourboyq254. One of the biggest pieces of news that dropped about surrounding the Raiders was Derek Ansley out as the Raiders secondary coach. He was the Raiders secondary coach for 1 year, obviously under John Gruden, and the Raiders did a lot better as far as their corners and safeties go than they did in 2017. And so this is a really big loss as far as I'm concerned. Ansley is a guy that's considered to be a head coach in the waiting soon, and it looks like with this move that he's now out as the Raiders secondary coach and he's going to Tennessee. There was rumors earlier in the offseason that he was going to go to Georgia. Well, that never ended up happening. He ended up going to Tennessee, and he also took the co-defensive coordinator job. So he's just kind of fast-tracking his coaching experience and his coaching rank and putting another notch on his resume. And again, it's going to lead to him being a head coach at some point. The Raiders got him from Alabama, and that led to a lot of speculation that a guy like Minkah Fitzpatrick would have been in line for the Raiders to draft in the first round of the 2018 draft. Well, we all know that that didn't happen. But either way, Ansley comes over from Alabama, does a really good job in the secondary for the Raiders in 2018. Think about it like this, man. In 2018, the Raiders had 14 interceptions. And I mean, look, it's more than just interceptions. Being a good secondary coach is a lot more than just interceptions. But if you're just looking at some production, interceptions, they had 14 in 2018. They only had 5 in 2017. 5. Yeah, that's right, 5. You can count it on one hand. Gerrion Conley himself had 3 in 2018. Remember, he didn't even start the whole season. Marcus Gilchrist, he had 3 in 2018. He also didn't start the whole season. So that's 6 amongst those two right there. In all of 2017, the Raiders only had 5 interceptions, and Sean Smith had 2 of them himself. So, again, just looking at production, and I know the secondary position, the coaching staff and all that, it's more than just interceptions and turnovers, because sometimes you're in position and you don't always get them. But Ansley had the Raiders in really good position as far as being able to pick off balls and get turnovers and returns, and even Conley returning one for a touchdown, and that was big. And there's things that he did, and he taught the secondary members of the Raiders that, you know, you can't just put a number on. But he did a heck of a job. So this is very much so a big loss for the Raiders. The other thing about it, what stinks about it, is Charles Woodson had just announced maybe a day or two ahead of time that he was leaving ESPN after 3 years. And I'll tell you right now, on the shows that Charles Woodson was on, he was the best guy up there. I mean, he was up there with Randy Moss. He was up there with Matt Hasselbeck. You know what I mean? He was up there, but he was the dude. And one, he was very outspoken. He was very honest. He stood up for what he believed in. He spoke highly on the Raiders if he felt that they needed to be spoke highly about. And he was very critical on the Raiders when they needed to be criticized. He was just very, as a matter of fact, one, I don't know if that's the ESPN way. And being a guy that works for ESPN, I don't obviously work for Connecticut. I don't work for the mothership. I work for ESPN Central Texas. But sometimes that just is not like the company line. So I don't know why he left ESPN after 3 years. Again, I felt like he was the best guy on that Sunday show and that Monday show. But again, that's just me. He was really good at what he did. Well, of course, with him being saying he's leaving and then Ansley all of a sudden out as the Raiders secondary coach, there was a ton of speculation that, oh, Charles Woodson's going to go and be the secondary coach for the Raiders. And everybody in Raider Nation, all the fans, were very excited about that and wondering if that speculation could be true, including myself. I was wondering it too, thinking, well, is that the reason why he left? You know, and I was excited about it. And I think a lot of Raider Nation was excited about it because of the possibility, because it's Charles Woodson, and we all know what kind of great player he was, and we know that he's going to be a Hall of Famer. He's going to put on that gold jacket the minute that he has that opportunity to do it. It won't be any doubt about it. He'll be a first-time, first ballot Hall of Famer. No questions asked. But because he was a great player, and this is what I wanted to, and I cautioned some people on Twitter about this, just because he was a great player does not mean that he was going to be a great secondary coach. Remember, the Raiders had Rod Woodson not once but twice. Rod Woodson was a hell of a coach, or a hell of a player. He was a great player, Hall of Famer as well. He was not very good as far as a secondary coach. Both times that he was a secondary coach for the Raiders. One time I think he was just assistant, but the second time when he was actually the secondary coach, it didn't work out that well. It doesn't always work out that well just because the player is great. Doesn't mean that they're going to turn into a great coach or a great owner. Look at Michael Jordan, greatest player in basketball history as far as I'm concerned. Not so much as far as the owner. That's just me. So I'm just saying I was very cautioned. I was trying to caution people about that on Twitter saying, hey, just I know it's Charles Woodson and we all, you know, love Seawood and we all love who the guy he is. But just because that is the guy that we love doesn't mean that he was going to be a good secondary coach. Well, he ended up tweeting out that it was just a coincidence that he has left ESPN and all of a sudden Ansley's gone at the same time. So that kind of killed that dream. But again, it wasn't really a dream because I still had a lot of reservations behind it. Ansley is a hell of a secondary coach. He's a guy that's very proven, and he's going to be a guy that's very missed by the Raiders. So that was probably the biggest news that dropped over the weekend. I think it dropped on Friday, and then it kind of trickled out throughout the weekend. Also, we all know that the Raiders are still looking for a home. Where are they going to play in 2019? A lot of speculation that came out about the fact that Oracle Park, you know, where the San Francisco Giants play, previously Pac Bell Park, that's where they're going to be at. Well, the only problem is that the Raiders hadn't checked with the 49ers to see if it was okay if they were going to release their territorial rights. The 49ers did not release their territorial rights, so the Raiders will not be playing in San Francisco in 2019, which is fine with me, because I wasn't a big fan of that anyway. I told you that on the podcast on Friday. I wasn't a big fan of them doing that. If they're going to play on a baseball field, let it be the Oakland Coliseum. Well, not too late after that, I think it was on Friday, Larry Beal from ABC in the Bay Area tweeted out that the Raiders and the city of Oakland were having negotiations, were in conversations about playing in the Coliseum, so I got excited. I got really excited. I said, let's go, Raiders, get it done. You know, fire it up about it. And because the reason is, there's certain guys in the media that I follow, and there's certain guys in the media that when they say something, I take it at face value because they're pretty credible. Well, when I was coming up, Larry Beal was a guy that's been around for a long time. If I'm remembering correctly, Larry Beal's been around for a very long time. So I saw what he tweeted out and thought, oh, that's great. That's awesome. He's not going to put out no, you know, tomfoolery. He's not going to put out something that's not real. Well, little did I know, and it finally came to my attention, Michael Gelkin from the Las Vegas Review-Journal, he actually shot down that report. And then my man Scott Winter, he pointed out to me the conversation between Beal and Zenny Abraham. And basically, Zenny was the source. And I don't know how you feel about Zenny, and I'm not trying to hate on anybody because, hey, whatever your hustle is your hustle. I can't knock anyone's hustle. I got my own hustle. Everyone's got their own hustle. You got to have your own lane. You know what I'm saying? So Zenny does his thing. I actually ran into Zenny in Atlanta, talked to him for a few minutes. But he's of the belief that all the issues that are around the Raiders and all the issues that are around the Coliseum and the Raiders going to Vegas and not playing in Oakland anymore are 100% squarely on the shoulders of Mark Davis and the Raiders. I don't believe that. I believe that the issues between Mark Davis and the Raiders and the city of Oakland are mutual. I think it's on both sides. I think it takes two parties to have an actual fight. You know what I mean? And have a real deal beef. And so I don't think that it's 100% on Mark Davis. I don't believe it's 100% on the city of Oakland either. But Zenny's, you know, he's that from that kind of political party in the city of Oakland. And he told me that his goddaughter is Libby Schaff. So, I mean, that you could take that for what it's worth. And again, not trying to dog the guy, but there's just certain people I get a gut feeling about when they start telling me stuff. I get that gut feeling if I believe it or if I don't. You know what I'm saying? And so Zanny's just always, I've kind of been on the fence with him, so I haven't never quoted anything that he said or just rode with anything he said. And I know he's had stuff he's been right about, but I also know he's had stuff that he's been wrong about. So I just have never looked at him as a source like, oh, well, Zanny said it, so it means it's going to be true. Well, my man Scott Winter, he actually showed me the tweet conversation. He tweeted it out, the conversation between Beal and Zanny. And so that's where Larry Beal had got that conversation that, or got that information that the Coliseum and the Raiders were actually negotiating with each other. So I don't know if that's true. So it looks like it's back to the drawing board. It looks like it actually isn't true. We'll have to wait and see. But I'll tell you right now, man, it is February 11th and there's no thought. There's no kind of conclusion on where the Raiders are going to play. And the NFL wanted a conclusion by the Super Bowl. The Super Bowls came and went. All right, we're already past that. Now we're into the AAF. I don't know if you guys watched the AAF over the weekend, but I did, and I was kind of entertained by it. I think I'm going to continue to watch it. I don't know. There's a team in San Antonio. I might actually go and try to check out a game live in person one of these weeks just to see how it shakes out. But, yeah, I was kind of entertained by it. Maybe you can give some thoughts on that, see if you were entertained, if you watched it. Maybe you didn't watch it. So, anyway, that's getting sidetracked. But, yeah, there's no announcement right now. There's no conclusion to where the Raiders are playing in 2019. And that is just, I've said it before many times on the radio. I've said it before on the podcast. It's just embarrassing, man. Figure out where you're going to play. If you're going to bite the bullet and play in Oakland, just do it. If you're going to play somewhere else, just do it. If you're going to go to Reno, whatever. Whatever you're going to do, just pick a home. Just say, this is what I'm going to do. Instead of just sitting there, you know, flip-flopping around in the air. Look, the schedule's got to be made. That's why the NFL needs to know, because they need to be able to make the schedule. If you don't know where you're playing, you're going to be playing the Raiders, and they're going to be playing at home, but they don't know where their home's at, so we'll get back to you on that. They can't do that. How terrible does that sound? You want to talk about being the butt of all the jokes. You want to know why a lot of national media and a lot of the talking heads on the big stage talk trash about the Raiders. Well, hell, they don't even know where they're playing in 2019. So get it together. Get it together. If you're going to play in Oakland, just play in Oakland. Say, hey, this is what we're going to pay you. Drop the lawsuit and we're there and we're good. And if the city of Oakland wants to do it, cool. If they don't, whatever. Then go somewhere else. At this point, as much as I want them to play in Oakland, I don't even care. Just announce where you're going to play. Go play in Fresno State for all I care at this point. You know what I'm saying? I'm really getting to the point where it's just embarrassing. Just go get it done. Wherever you got to go play, hell, you can come to Texas and play. You know how many stadiums are in Texas for high school teams? Come to Texas. You know what I'm saying? We'll find a place for you. There's an empty stadium somewhere in Texas you could play. I'm just saying. I'm going to throw that out there. It's really frustrating at this point. So that kind of information, if you saw from Larry Beal on his Twitter, I think it was on Friday, talking about the city of Oakland and the Raiders were negotiating the Coliseum. Take that with a grain of salt because it might not be 100% true. I know I got super excited about it when I saw it, but after further review, I kind of felt not so good about it. So I just wanted to bring that to your attention as well. Coming up in segment number two, segment number three, we have calls off that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line, 707-654-4693. You'll hear that next. This is the Locked On Raiders podcast.
You are Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Oakland Raiders, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back in, Raider Nation. Segment number two of the Locked On Raiders podcast on this Monday, February 11th, 2019. I'm your boy Q, and let's jump into some calls straight off that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line, 707-654-4693. And I'll say, before we get into some calls, this has just been awesome, man. To be able to have this podcast voicemail line and to have people be able to chime in and speak on anything they want and just bring it to the table for the podcast, I will say, man, Raider Nation, hats off to you because you've done a hell of a job using this voicemail line the right way, and we've had a lot of fun and a lot of good conversations. So with that being said, let's jump into it. Quantum Raider, he's in the 916. He's representing Sacramento, calling about Tom Flores not getting in the Hall of Fame. What could possibly be behind that? He's got a theory behind it, and it's something similar to what Raider fans have been saying for a while. Here's my man, Quantum Raider, in the 916.
Hey, Q, it's Quantum Raider from the 916. I was thinking about something, and I just wanted to bring this to your attention. So we all know we've been talking about Tom Flores not making the Hall of Fame. And as a Hispanic man, I didn't get to be like a pro football player, but I played in high school. And I just got to say, that guy was very influential to me. So it's kind of messed up that as a first Hispanic coach to win a Super Bowl that he can't even get in there. But on top of that, what I really wanted to tell you was, what if the reason he didn't get in is because, I'm sorry to say, but they want him to pass, man. And I'm not trying to say that in a disrespectful way, but I'm saying after Kent Stabler passed away and he was into the Hall of Fame, they didn't have any Raider gear in there. And he wasn't allowed to say, I want my Raider gear in there, and I'm sure he would have. And I think Raider Nation will agree. Cam Stabler would have wanted only Raider gear on there. And I hope they're not trying to do that with Tom Flores, waiting for him to pass, and I hope he lives a long life too. But what if they just waiting on that, and then they're going to put some KC, like, artifacts in his Hall of Fame, or like some Seattle Seahawks, and no Raider gear? I don't know, just food for thought. If that's what it is, I don't know, man. I think the NFL's got it out for us, and hopefully we can get him there as soon as possible, because that guy deserves it. All right, man, back to you, Q. Good looking out, and keep the podcast going. Later, man.
Good stuff right there, Quantum Raider, and you might be onto something. I'm telling you, I said that. I think I touched on that either Thursday or Friday of last week, that they will put these guys in once they passed. You know, Kenny Stabler gets into the Hall of Fame once he's passed. Don't make that mistake, Hall of Fame. Do not make that mistake with Tom Flores. Do not put him in after he's passed. Please don't. Give the man some love while he's still alive. All right, next call. Raider Rue. He's in Logan, Utah, talking about some of the episodes he's been listening to over the last few weeks. And he had a name he wanted to add to the most hated list. Then also added his five favorite lists. Here's my man, Raider Rue in Logan, Utah.
Hey, Q. Raider Rue from Logan, Utah. Kind of listening to all the episodes the last 2 weeks and wanted to get in on some of the conversation. I like the one about the hated folks in the NFL, whether they're former players, whatever. And guys named a lot of good ones: Sapp, Russell, Moss, Shanahan, Schottenheimer. So I just wanted to add one more to that. The guy that always bothered me watching him, he was on ESPN with Berman, is Tom Jackson, former Broncos linebacker. You could tell he did not hide his bias against the Raiders or for the Broncos, and I always found him annoying for that. So it's no wrong answers from anybody else. Just wanted to add that one that I hadn't heard it yet, and he always bothered me. I also like the five favorites for me that I got to watch. Just my personal favorites I enjoyed watching were Greg Townsend, Terry McDaniel, of course, Tim Brown, Charles Woodson, and Howie Long. Oh, yeah. I guess I got to make it a little extra long because Bo Jackson was fun in his short time. And that was when I first started watching him, and he was there, so I can't leave him out. Anyways, thanks, Q. Have a good one. Go Raiders.
Good stuff right there. Lots of good names added there from Raider Rue in Logan, Utah. Appreciate that call. Now going to one of my favorite calls, one of my favorite guys from Raider Nation who chimes in on that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line at 707-654-4693. Brother Marquise representing 305 Miami. What up? He's calling to talk about the upcoming draft and what he wants to address. In an area of the team that he feels like is kind of being overlooked. So it's mock draft season. Brother Marquise in the 305 has some thoughts for you as you put your mock draft together. Here he is. He's representing Miami.
Q, it's your boy Marquise down in the 305, Brother Marquise. What's up, Raider Nation? Excuse me. I just want to bring up something because, you know, I'm looking at all these mock drafts and listening to everybody talk about draft, even our own on this podcast, talking about first pick with edge rusher, and we need to fix that defense and stuff like that. Spend these three first-round picks on defense, we really need to fix it. And while I agree with all that wholeheartedly, part of my question is, or concern is, our offense is pretty damn bad. And that's like almost being overlooked. We average 18 points a game. That's good for 28th in the league. 336 yards a game, good for 23rd in the league. 101 rushing yards, good for 25th in the league. I mean, we weren't a very good offense. So I don't know why everyone's already jumped to the foregone conclusion that we are drafting defensive players. Yes, our defense was bad. But you know what? When you're 4-12, everything is bad. You know, our offense was bad. And in this stage of the NFL, are we better off trying to load up on offense and fix those wide receivers and maybe some of the offensive line and, you know, re-signing Jared Cook or adding more tight end depth, whatever the case may be? I don't know how everyone's just overlooking the offensive side of the ball just because John Gruden's the head coach. You're just kind of assuming the offense is going to be good, but that wasn't the case last year. So, just something to think about, Raider Nation. full when you're thinking about your mock drafts and putting together who you think the Raiders should draft, I think you need to take a hard look at the offense side of the ball, because in today's NFL, if you don't have a good offense, then it's tough to win. Brother Marquise, out.
Good stuff right there. And Brother Marquise, I'm with you. I definitely think that as much as the defense is an issue, the offense needs to come around too. The offense needs some playmakers, because right now, the offense don't have no playmakers. I mean, Derek Carr put up some good stats and good numbers in 2018, and a lot of the times he did that with basically no names. So, yeah, the offense definitely has to be addressed, and I do believe that one of those three first-round picks that the Raiders have will be an offensive guy, and I would not be surprised. Again, I've said it before, I would not be surprised if two of the guys were offensive, just because this is John Gruden's team, and we all know that. But good thoughts right there from Brother Marquise at the 305. Now, closing out segment number two, going to listen to a call from my man, Wop. That's right, Wop, he's back. He's calling, talking about his favorite Raiders and most hated Raiders as well. He's taking it back a bit. I wouldn't say old school, but he's just taking it back a little bit. He's very matter-of-fact about his hated list, though. Here's good stuff from Wop.
Hey, Q, it's Wop. I'm calling in to say my favorite Raiders and least favorite Raiders. For me, I got a lot of old school Raiders that are my favorites. I'm starting with Lyle Alzado. I think he's what got me to be a fan. When I first seen him play, I thought he was an animal. I thought he was just to me, he's the first beast mode I ever seen. And he was just one of the best Raiders on the planet. He really just carried himself like the Raider way. And I just thought that was amazing. I have Chester McLaughlin or Terry McDaniel. I could kind of switch both of them in. I really like both of them. They were hard players. Terry McDaniel, he was a bad mofo. And then also Seawood. Everyone got to love Seawood. Seawood is just, I think everyone knows who Charles Woodson is. You kind of have to put him on your list if you've been around. And then I have Howie Long. Another dude, another dog, just like Alzado, played his butt off. He's a dog. And my all-time favorite of all time, I don't care what anyone says, Rich Gannon, he's always going to be my dude. I got a signed autograph, jersey of him, and that was my favorite. I'll always keep that. He's my dog. Hated Raiders, whatever that is. The list is simple. Randy Moss, Warren Sapp, Kerry Collins, Robert Gowdy. Easy. And out of all those lists, I never, ever, ever wanted to see Kerry Collins play. That was, god-awful as a quarterback. So, three beautiful passes, interceptions, for a pick six, goes back on the field, throws another good two passes, throws another pick six. Pick six after pick six after pick six. Guy was freaking horrible. I hated watching him play as a quarterback. Sucked, and I wish he never wore a Raiders jersey. That's how bad he was. Same thing with Randy Moss. I care two craps about Randy Moss.
All right, Wop, always good to hear from you, man. Love how you get very passionate in your calls. Love everybody's calls that hits us up on that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line. Brother Marquise in the 305 rep in Miami, Raider Rue, Logan, Utah, and of course, Quantum Raider in the 916 holding it down for Sacramento. Appreciate y'all getting us started on segment number two on today's Locked On Raider podcast. And coming up in segment number three, I got some more calls, some good stuff. Got two calls, but they're very detailed and they're very good. That's coming up next on the Locked On Raiders podcast.
You are Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Oakland Raiders. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Raider Nation, here we are, segment number three on today's episode of the Locked On Raiders podcast. It is Monday, February 11th, 2019. I'm your boy Q. You can always hit me up on Twitter, at your boy Q254. And, of course, that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line is always wide open like some TV antennas, some old school TV antennas. 707-654-4693. Good Doc from Canada. He's leading us off. He's a first-time caller. Gives a little background on himself, when he became a Raiders fan. And then he talks about the conversations we've had over the last few weeks about the most hated Raiders or most hated people as far as Raider Nation goes. And then he also talks about his five favorite Raiders. He also speaks on the upcoming NFL draft. This is a very passionate call from the Good Doc.
Q, the Good Doc calling from Canada. My first time calling in. First and foremost, I want to tell you that I love the show. Definitely one of the top Raider podcasts. I've been listening to you from the beginning. I really enjoy the insight from you, from all of Raider Nation. You have some great followers, some great callers. It's a good show. I recommend it to people all the time. Quick background on me. I was born and raised in Canada. lived in Chicago, lived in Florida, lived in New York. I've been all over the place, played a little bit of football myself. Settled back in Canada here now. But I've been Raider Nation the whole time from the very beginning, since I was about 6 years old when Mark Stallone tore up the Washington Redskins in 1983. Fast forward a couple of years, and along comes Bo. There was no turning back after that. It was like watching a real-life superhero. So over the last couple of weeks, there have been a couple of really good questions about who are the most hated people from the perspective of Raider Nation and who are the most beloved. So I'll jump in on that conversation. My most hated, like many others here, I have to say, is Mike Shanahan, for obvious reasons. That'd be followed for me very closely by Tom Brady. I respect his ability, even though he's a cheater, but whatever, I'm done with him. He just needs to go away. Number three for me is, I'll say 95% of the analysts on ESPN who talk about the Raiders. A lot of them talk a lot of trash. They act as if they're very aware of our situation, but, you know, sometimes I feel, especially over the last 10 years or so, I've seen a lot of people on those stations, ESPN and those other stations, like Tom Jackson, Teddy Bruschi, talking about how player X is a part of the Raiders' starting lineup and the Raiders are so bad, even this guy's made the field, when in actuality that player may be number four or might be just called up from our practice roster. Now, I know probably like me, most of Raider Nation at that point is ready to throw something through the TV because they know that that's not the truth. Whether, I don't want to say that it's always lies, maybe it's just misinformation because they don't even pay attention to the Raiders. But I know the Raider Nation knows what's going on. But my problem with that is that a lot of other people will watch the Raiders and agree and say, well, there you go. Teddy Bruschi said it, so it must be true. So to the point of the caller, I'm sorry, I can't remember which one it was, but the caller said a couple weeks ago that we need to take off our silver and black glasses and trust the experts. I think that maybe a big part of the reason why a lot of Raider Nation has so much difficulty trusting those so-called experts is because there is so much misinformation out there. Now, maybe it's because the Raiders haven't been a fun team to watch over the last while. I can appreciate that. But my mother taught me when I was little, if I don't know what I'm talking about, to shut my mouth. So sometimes when I'm watching some of these guys, I'm thinking they need to do the same. One more thing I wanted to get onto was my favorite. Just like you two, I got way too many. I think that I would have to start it off and say my 1A and my 1B are C. Wood and Bo Jackson. In no other order, who knows, I got to throw in Tim Brown, Rich Gannon, Howie Long. I'll even throw in Derek Carr. Derek Carr, I'm a big supporter. I'm a big fan. I don't believe that he had a great season and has suddenly forgotten how to play the game. I think that he needs weapons like everybody else does, and he needs time. So I want to give him that one more year. 2 years in the system. The last time we did that, we all saw what happened. Let's see what happens this year. Last thing I want to talk about here, Q, is the NFL draft. I'm a big fan of the NFL draft. Really gotten into it over the last, well, since I was a kid, really. But that's probably because as a Raiders fan, there's not much to look forward to once we get to December. So that's really become a big focus for me, and I'm sure for a lot of Raider Nation. I know you're having John Ledyard on your show on Friday. And so today I actually happen to be listening to his show, Locked On NFL Draft. And they happen to be talking about the AFC West. So they let off the Raiders. So I was excited. I thought this was going to be a good show. Let's hear what this man has to say. And, you know, I'm very disappointed so far. I don't expect everybody to sugarcoat everything and only say positive things, but I certainly don't expect hate. My thought is that as a journalist that he's supposed to be unbiased and he's supposed to give his opinion based on facts, not on personal feelings. That's not the sense I got. Maybe I'm wrong, but I really got the sense that there was a lot of personally driven dislike for the Raiders and what and who they are. I don't know if he's a Chiefs fan or what he is, but that's my feeling. So I'm interested to see how the show goes on Friday. I'll be very excited to hear it. And for those of you in Raider Nation who maybe haven't heard his show today, it might be worth tuning in and seeing what you think. I'd love to hear everybody's thoughts. And that's it for me. Happy offseason to the nation. Peace.
Good stuff right there from the good doc representing Canada. First-time caller. He's a new booty. Appreciate that, my man. I would like to know what were your thoughts on Friday's interview with John Ledyard, since you brought up the conversation that he was having on the NFL Draft Network. And, again, man, I don't look for any of these guys that I interviewed to be fans of the Raiders. I just ask them to give me their opinion of the Raiders. I don't want anyone to come on, and I don't want to interview anyone that's just like a super fan, and they might say stuff that's unrealistic. I have no problem interviewing someone who's not a Raiders fan if they give you legitimate conversation. So I'm very interested in thinking or hearing what you thought about the interview on Friday with John Ledyard. I thought it was pretty informative and honest, and it could go really a lot of details about the personnel at this stage, and really that's really what I'm concerned about. So good doc, if you get a minute, man, chime back in and let us know what you thought about that interview. 707-654-4693, and appreciate the call. That was a lot of good stuff. Now, closing out today's episode, very passionate call again from a guy who, well, I wouldn't expect anything less. Vader Raider in the 303. He wants to address J.C. Raider and his question about Derek Carr, and the question was what he needs to see from him to ensure he makes it to Vegas in 2020. Really, really good, passionate call from my man Vader Raider in 303. Here it is.
What's up, Q? What's up, Raider Nation? It's your boy, Vader Raider. Nice to see you back, Q. Good show today. I kind of wanted to address J.C. Raider. J.C. Raider had a question about Derek Carr. And this is going to lead into another subject that I've already expounded on. But here goes. J.C. Raider, tell you what I need to see out of Derek Carr. I need to see a little bit of a, since this is a family show, a-hole. That's what I need to see. I know you Derek Carr lovers out there, and I love Derek Carr too, but I know that the ones that got his back 100 and you ride or die with him, I'm going to tell you something right now. I want you to listen to this real close, okay? Like Q has said and like I said a while back, in fact, I think I said this after game 3 when we lost to the Fins, he's going to have this season. And I'm going to tell you something. Now more than ever, he can't screw up. I want you to listen to that, okay? I know y'all out there on the East Coast, I know most known, unknown. I know you ride or die with him, especially you, Nico. I know you. You pull hard for him. And listen, I want to see him play well, too. And by the way, no, I did not want to see Derek Carr in the Super Bowl because Derek Carr would not have performed well either. Okay? I'm just going to throw it out there, Nico, because a lot of those plays, he won't run around. He took sacks. And that's kind of stuff you can't do. Okay? A lot of you guys out there have to look at this very openly. Look at it from another point of view. Open your eyes a little bit. Realize that Derek, ever since 2016, 2017, doesn't run around a whole lot. He doesn't extend the play. And quite, you've heard a lot of people come on different shows and say the same thing. He doesn't extend plays. So, J.C. Raider, that's what I need to see. I need to see an a-hole. I need to see somebody getting in. I need to see him get into somebody's ear. I need to see him yell at somebody. I need to see him tear somebody's head off. I'm sorry. I don't care if it's a lineman, a receiver, a running back, a missed block, whatever. I need to see Derek Carr be a jerk. I'm tired of the Bible thumping. I'm tired of the oh, golly gosh, you know, I'm so sorry. We really want to do that because I'm not going to tolerate another 4th and 5 in the dirt. I'm sorry, and I think, Q, you're with me on that. And I know P.E.'s with me on that. Ain't going to tolerate another 4th and 5 where he throws the ball on the ground and doesn't at least try. So, I need to be very clear. I want Derek Carr to succeed. We all want Derek Carr to succeed. But understand, I'm going to tell you something right now. I want to see him get into somebody's ear hole. I'm sorry. But I'm not doing it anymore. I'm not doing the Bible something, like I said. I'm not doing it. And I don't think the rest of you in Raider Nation want to do it either. I really don't think you do. You know, I really don't think you want to tolerate another season of him going up to the podium and saying, well, you know, we really wanted that play, but we didn't get it. And him trying to talk to the media and be concerned. Because like I said before, like I was saying to Nico, you want to win championships? You need a guy who's going to step up, and you need a guy who's going to be tenacious. You need a guy who's going to be so hungry to win that it consumes him. I'm sorry, Raider Nation, but we need that guy. I don't care how much you hate Tom Brady, but let's face it, the guy is tenacious. Him and Belichick. You know, you're not out there because you love being in the league. You want a guy who's going to just be so tenacious for winning that he can't handle anything else. That's how Tom Brady is. That's how the greats are. They're so tenacious that all they want to do is win. And guess what? Everything else is mute. Unless you're 100% dedicated to winning. And I do not see that in Derek Carr. And I want to start seeing his tenacious desire to win. So there it is, Q. There it is, Raider Nation. Like I said, I still back Derek 100%, so don't get it twisted. But understand, I want Derek Carr to be tenacious and be a little bit of an a-hole, and I want him to tear somebody's head off. I'm sorry, I want to do it. I want to see it. All right. Vader Raider, out.
Great stuff right there, Vader Raider. Always love hearing from you. And I have to say, man, me personally, again, I want Derek Carr to succeed just like everyone else. I really want Derek Carr to succeed. But at some point, man, you have to expect for him to be much, much better. Matter of fact, this is going to be year two. 2019 will be year two with John Gruden. So I'm expecting that he's going to be a lot better than he was in year one. You got to have a better understanding of the system, and you got to understand, you know, how to win. And I'm serious. Ultimately, that's what it comes down to. Raider Nation, Derek Carr has a lot of really good stats. He ranks really, really high. I saw like a Twitter conversation going back and forth the other day about, you know, Derek Carr is ranked second as far as stats go, as far as Raider quarterbacks of all time. And where does that rank him? And, you know, look, I get it, man. Stats are great. Touchdown passes are awesome. Less interceptions are better. You know what I mean? Yards are great. Ultimately, what matters and what matters to me is wins, Raider Nation. W's. I want to see W's. That's what Derek Carr has to improve on. I mean, I've said already what I want to see him do just as a quarterback in general as far as using his legs to keep plays alive. You heard Tim Brown talk about it. Derek Carr has to use his legs in this system to be able to be successful. You heard Tim Brown, who played in this system. I know people argued with me about what Bill Romanowski said, but Tim Brown, damn it, played under John Gruden. Tim Brown, damn it, played with Rich Gannon. Tim Brown knows how John Gruden wants things. So if anything I questioned or anything that you questioned about what I had to say or what Bill Romanowski had to say, listen to what Tim Brown had to say. Talk to him on Radio Row in Atlanta. It was on the podcast a week ago or maybe 2 weeks ago, and he said Derek Carr has to use his legs. That was something he was very adamant about. He said he can be the guy, but he's got to use his legs. So ultimately, my thing again is going back to wins, W's. I want to see W's. This is not all Derek Carr's fault. It's not. I get it. But think about this, Raider Nation. This is what I'm going to leave you with on this episode. Derek Carr career wins, 32. Career losses, 46. 32 wins, 46 losses. Again, I said, that's not all Derek Carr's fault. But honestly, that's on his resume. That is on Derek Carr's resume. 32 wins, 46 losses. I would like to see more W's than I'm seeing L's. He's had one winning season the whole time he's been in the league, and that was 2016. You could have all the stats you want, but the stat that's most important is a W. You gotta have W's. Again, not all Derek Carr's fault. A lot of these times he's been dealt a very tough hand. I get it. I honestly, absolutely, 100% get it. You want to see Derek Carr evolve as a quarterback? You want to see him take that next step? Get more W's. I don't care how you do it, get more W's. And with that being said, Raider Nation, as always, until next time, just win, baby.